What If It's Cool is proudly brought to you by Respo Clothing. Feel like a champion by wearing the merch from all the stars, including Luke Resner, B Squared, Savannah Rowe, John Stop Action, Nova Nichols, The Cooters, and my personal favorite, Conflict Axiom. So feel like a champion by checking out Respo Clothing. They can be found on Facebook and on Instagram. Adrenaline Pro Wrestling presents Breakout 40, happening on April 26th, featuring the up-and-coming stars of Adrenaline Pro Wrestling. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. MXW presents Game Over, happening on Saturday, April 27th at the Sunbury Memorial Hall. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Mayhem Pro presents Showcase, happening on May 10th. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Alpha Pro Wrestling presents Malice, happening on Saturday, May 11th at the Pipeworks Market. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Adrenaline Pro Wrestling presents Battle to Survive 3, happening on May 25th at the Seaford Community Hall, featuring the Battle to Survive Rumble. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out. Another episode of What If It's Cool, the show where we talk about anything and everything that is cool in the world today. I am the intergalactic known as Daniel Paul Crow. With me is Sicky McGee, Richard Napa. Yeah, I'm calling you out, Mike. I mean, who the hell eats you really bad chicken depressant? You know that. And don't interrupt me. With me is a gladiator known as Tass. Tass, how are we going?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Had a bit of a down week, but we're getting good.
How come he gets to talk?
Because he can. Now shut up. And and now we have the accuser known as Dangerous Pete Morgan. Pete, where are we going?
I'm sorry, the what?
The accuser. It's a joke. I know I'm a idiot. Just go that with it.
Oh, mate. My first accusation is you're a
It's good to have the boys back.
Oh, you're gonna cop it, Dan, for that shitty intro. You're done for the whole podcast.
hey, you're at least done. at least on the last episode I wasn't the one who had the shittiest joke on that one. That was you, Pete. That was you, Pete.
I was about to say I can't comment. Mine were pretty good.
You had the cringiest and the shittiest joke on the last one.
God.
Well, it's been an amazing week for all of us because I think we all got, well, at least had some rest. I know I'm still tired from last week from working at Alpha, but obviously Richard's recovered. Tass is just relaxing and enjoying life, and Pete is celebrating the fact that he kicked someone in the balls, is now the number one contender for the Alpha Cup, which is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, you're a classic, and he gets the job done, ain't he?
Yeah.
He's a ball kick. You got to watch that, man. Smooth going down under, mate. That's protected spaces. You've got to be very careful.
Well, the footage should be out, I think, this week or next week on the Alpha Pro Wrestling YouTube channel. So yeah, you definitely check it out. Before we before we dive into everything, Richard, you have a poll you would like to talk about.
Got a question.
Go for it, mate.
Yeah. Okay. What is the greatest vehicle in the Marvel universe? There is no, there's only one answer that's correct. So I'll start. Pete, what do you think?
Peter parked car.
Not bad. Tass?
Vehicle.
Yes. The best one.
I'm going to just say the Blackbird.
You're wrong. Dan?
I was actually going to say the Blackbird as well because that's my ideal whenever
all
I think of
Marvel. Best vehicle is Hawkeye's Skycycle.
Oh, nice. Oh, you got it. Nice.
Oh, Christ.
Fucking Hasbro made me spend double just so I could get the nice classic Hawkeye, and I'm stuck with this fucking piece of shit. So you're not fucking happy.
Is that for the Marvel Legends range, at least?
Yeah, it is. I'm just not happy. It's a Sky Cycle. What the fuck? So, yeah. It's the Sky Cycle.
It just looks like something something fucking Batman related.
Well, since we're bringing in little tidbits here and there, I've got something ready that is pretty much relatable to this episode of the show.
Yeah. Oh!
That's great.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
So nice. For those who are listening, he's got the hardback cover of X-Men's Life Death, and that's cool.
I got back into it to get ready for this episode.
Did you pay scalper prices, or did you get it before the episode?
Oh, long before. I've had this for a while.
Yeah, good. You're going to sell it now for a scalper price?
Nah, not really.
Surely it's worth at least $4,000-$5,000. Surely, the way the market's.
I mean, the original comic print, maybe, but not the fucking. Yeah,
hey, mate, comic collectors are f***ed, and I say that being a comic collector.
But to say, you really want to alienate an audience right now by saying that statement.
One of them. What's wrong with you?
So for all hate mail, please DM Rich _. Oh, no. Sorry. I was just
DM that guy.
Naf. What is it? Naf _87 or something.
What?
I don't know.
87?
What is it?
Is that?
What is it?
No, I'm telling you
shit
now. You can't even remember my.
I'm gonna. All right, dickhead. I'm gonna look it up now. Oh my god!
My handles.
Oh, because I forgot the NAF's bloody Instagram handle. Oh Jesus!
Wait, all right, so NAF dash dash. The episode anyway. What are you googling it?
Yeah.
Just wait patiently.
Right. All right. Hang on. Because we have to do this because I got in trouble on Reaction Wrestling Wednesdays for last week's episode. We're going to take a brief moment to talk about our sponsor here on whatever it's called, Respo Clothing. Make sure to check out Respo Clothing on Instagram and on Facebook at Respo Clothing or Respo.clothing on Instagram. They have amazing merchandise. From all the stars, you can feel like a champion. And guys, please don't drop us as a sponsor because we love that money. So please forgive me. Anyway,
it's going, Dan. Not only are you pissing us off on the podcast, you're pissing off our sponsors too.
Yeah.
I think you back to last episode. Did you plug him there as well? Because I don't think you did.
Shut up!
You're pissing off everybody today, Norbert.
I don't know that yet. Shut up!
You got fucking cunt buzzing.
I got in so much trouble for the last episode of Reaction Wrestling Wednesdays, guy, because literally we're about to finish up, and all of a sudden I had to stop it. I went, "Oh, hang on, wait, we haven't stopped it." So we haven't plugged the thingy yet, and it just, oh god.
Wait, you don't watch back your own show?
What?
I was watching the show, but I literally forgot to plug it in between the bed. So
he's one of those famous snobby actors. I'd not watch my own work. I only prefer it as the best. Sorry, Dan. Dan's not good enough to rewatch his own work.
So who's the moron that's only listened to 5 minutes of the last episode? Richard Nuffer is his name?
I'm a guest, man. I'm a guest. How dare you?
You're a fucking part of the show, you moron.
Nah, I'm in too deep.
So
I'm a snobby actor.
We have a revolving door of cast members, and you are a cast member, so shut up. You should be listening to our show.
I'm a revolving door to you. That's what I am. First, you with a rubbish intro, and now I'm a revolving door. That's what I am. Okay. No worries, Dan. Disgusting.
Holy, 5 minutes in, we haven't even gone into the episode yet.
Yeah.
I feel like
I've got to make up for last week, man. I have to. I wasn't here. I've got to make it up. I've got to make it up somehow.
I feel like this is going to end up us being in the ring one day, and just like someone like
and
you know what?
Lose.
It'll be Dangerous Pete Morgan being the ref on this one, even though he says he's retired as a ref. Probably we'll have Tass on commentary, even though he hasn't done it before online. But I think it'd be really great, and then just us, you know, just whirling the. Out of each other and
what do you mean, out of each other. No, me well and the shit out of you.
Be a fight.
I saw the footage of you fighting, Dan. I'm not impressed.
Did you see that? Did you see that footage from the show already?
The one, yeah, the one that's just passed. Yeah, I saw.
Oh yeah. Oh, God.
And yeah, you're picking the best part is you're picking fights. That's the fun part. Okay, Dan. Okay, Dan. Let's go.
I forgot. I did tell you that. I said to you that that footage. All right. Now, who would like to read the synopsis of episode 6 of X-Men 97?
I'm actually prepared for one, so I've got it.
Oh, you're a professional. Jesus Christ, yeah. That's a change.
Life Death Part 2.
Storm is forced to face her worst fears in order to free herself.
Well, that's half the plot.
Hey, yeah. That's the messenger.
Where's that from? From Wikipedia or from the actual synopsis from Disney?
IMBD.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same.
Yeah. It's the same everywhere. Even Wikipedia has that.
Oh, God. Well, it opens with a beautiful shot being like so very Star Wars-esque. And half-naked flyboys. Are they flyboys or what do you call them exactly?
Pilots.
Oh, pilots. Okay. I don't know. Just like I was like, why are they half naked?
You would think that.
Well, it's a nice little
hang. They do.
We go from death and destruction in the last episode to now all of a sudden war in outer space between the Kree and the Shi'ar Empire.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Take your breath me. You know, after dinner, you start crying, bawling your eyes out, and now we're just whiplash. Yep, I'm away. Completely fucking different. You thought you were going to mourn Gambit. It was good to see Ronan actually doing something. It was lovely, Ronan the Accuser.
Is this the first time he's ever made an appearance on X-Men, or is it...
In X-Men, yes. Animation, no. He was in...
FF, wasn't he?
He was in Guardians, but I don't know. I don't think he was in anything else.
He was also
talking about the 90s cartoons.
The 90s cartoon. He might have appeared in the Silver Surfer because there was a lot of space characters in the Silver Surfer.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he was in Guardians and then Captain Marvel. And then I think that's it.
Talking about the cartoons, mate. Not the.
I'm talking about Ryan in general.
Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes?
That's right. He was.
Can I just say, that's the best Marvel animation, hands down.
Oh, it is. Hands down. So I've got the whole thing on DVD because I made sure I wanted to keep that.
So good. So good. That's what got me into Avengers as a kid, man. That's top shelf stuff.
Mm. It's good stuff.
Yeah, we're here to talk about X-Men 97, guys, not Avengers Mightiest Heroes.
It's called having a nice, engaging podcast, mate. All right, take it easy. It's not going to get aggressive.
Wasn't mean to go. Oh, I can't do this. it's too fucking late because you know. Oh God, I'm tired. Anyway,
Oh, we're gonna have fun. This will be very fun. Yes, please continue, Dan.
So I've forgotten the character's name now because we're talking a lot of bullshit. What's LaRange's sister's name? Who makes it?
Deathbird. Deathbird. Three times. Listen, yes. Man.
Huh?
Deathbird, also known as Richard's new crush.
Not a ranger.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, we've just unlocked Richard's kink, redhead.
I'm not ashamed.
Now, just for the ladies that are listening on this episode or watching, depending on which way you go, Richard is single, and if you are a redhead, please DM him because he, you know, is looking.
I'm not gonna. Yeah, all right, whatever, Dan. I'm not gonna turn away redheads, but I'm fine. Thank you very much.
We're turning this podcast into MA, Married at First Sight.
All right, anyone who's not redhead can go home.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why do you think I like the other episode so much? We had Jean Grey and Madeline Bryant. Anyway, yep. So Ronan the Accuser, Deathbird, what are we saying?
Sorry, I'm just lost about the redhead thing.
Jesus. The Kree, come on, people. The Kree was smashing the
sorry.
Shadow, and then Royal Guard come in and just wipe out the Kree battle. Yes.
Yeah. How cool was what's his face? What's his name? Gladiator.
Can I just point out, and I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this one. I f-ing hate Gladiator. Whether it be on the show, in the comics, I f-ing hate him. I can't stand him.
Why?
I don't know if anyone feels the same way, but I feel about this. I feel like he's a lame version of Superman. I don't know what it is about him. I can't stand his character at all.
It's pretty much what he is.
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, because he's one of Marvel's Superman.
Mm.
Yeah, they got what, Hyperion, Sentry, and Gladiator, and that's it. Three. Yeah. Isn't there one more?
Three of them. Yeah, it feels like there's a fourth one, but can't remember.
Sure, there's one more.
Oh, Icarus.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No one can beat Big Blue. Nobody. He's the best.
Yeah, true.
Mm. I found it interesting that in the Royal Guard you see Vulcan and Vulcan, not surprising, but Destiny as well. Okay.
Yeah, Vulcan was weird too. That was a weird one. Because isn't he? That's Cyclops'
brother. Yeah, his younger brother.
Yeah,
was it his brother or was that what is that his dad? So I thought Havoc was his brother.
Havoc is his brother. No, Havoc is his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the other brother.
He's got two brothers, doesn't he?
Does he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and his kids.
Because I know Pulsar's his dad.
Yeah.
That's the knockoff Star-Lord guy, yeah, with the Star Jammer.
Yeah. Knockoff Han Solo with a mullet.
Star Jammer.
Yeah, that's the one.
Star Jammer, that's the one. Star-Jammer.
With the f***ing bandana.
Yeah.
No, but this whole scene for me, again, being a parent, like, I felt this very violent, especially with the voices. Like, it's so, like, you know, like I'm feeling a little, like if this is me at 10 years old watching, I'll be terrified for just for the noises alone. But blood. I still can't believe they're getting away with blood on a PG-13 TV show.
Brother, I don't think it's PG-13 anymore. After last week, man, I don't think it's PG-13.
This one was rated M. I'm pretty sure. I just rewatched it. I swear, I saw an M in that corner.
All right.
Yeah. This is
while you guys talk, I'll check that up and make sure.
They're getting, yeah, it's bad.
Oh, we also forgot to mention Nightcrawler now in the intro.
Yes.
And no Gambit or Magneto.
No.
Unlucky. That's unlucky.
And fun fact, Nightcrawler's logo comes from his limited 1997 solo run, I believe it was. And yeah, nice.
That was a fun fact. I like that. That's cool.
Mm. No, it was PG. It was PG, Pete.
Oh, it was PG. That's cool. Yeah. Could have sworn.
Well, they're pushing it. They're pushing it big time.
They are.
But I imagine the only thing that's going to get them over the line is like an F-bomb or something.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Don't have to worry about that in Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but see, it's a good PG, but for sensitive people like Dan, then yeah, it is. You know, it's pushing the envelope a lot. Because, haram, look, you get scared. The violence is too much. It's your poor thing. I'm sorry that you feel that way. But, you know, it's 2024, man. You got to calm down.
Moving on. So, Deathbird gets interrupted as she's doing her whole shtick with Ronan. And Lalandra's just doing this massive PR stunt where she's announcing that she is in love with Charles Xavier. I know, I kind of put that in the back burner to remind myself that Professor X is still alive. For me, when I was there, I went, oh, yeah, he's still alive.
Because he didn't really die.
I completely forgot.
It was good to see him soon again. And I was like, he's walking. Mm. Whoa, okay. So they managed to keep him alive. He's walking great.
Man, you would want him back in the
room. I clicked onto it immediately that I was an exoskeleton.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Like, and then we get to the next scene, he's in the exoskeleton. I'm like, oh, great.
You would be back in the wheelchair, Dan. Typical. Can't let a man walk. Can't let a man just be happy for 5 minutes walking there. He's going to mute me.
I'm literally looking at my mute button.
Look at him. You just say scrambling. What the f*** is a button?
And the guy who's voicing Charles now, I believe, is Ross Marquand. I think it is.
Yes.
Why's that name ring a bell?
Yeah, it was. He's voiced by the guy who voiced, who played Red Skull in Avengers: Infinity War.
All right.
Yeah, the original voice actor retired years ago.
Oh wow! There you go.
Yeah.
And he voices Ultron in What If?
Yes, he was him. He was Ultron in What If.
He did well. I didn't really pay too much. Like, it was very seamless.
Yeah, really good.
He has a YouTube channel where he does impressions, and they're like spot on.
That's cool.
He does like Jason Statham getting a Charlie horse, and if you close your eyes, it sounds exactly
that's
like
awesome.
That.
That's awesome.
It's weird.
Can we change your moniker from Dangerous to Fun Fact Pete Morgan?
He's pretty good.
Pete Morgan, mate. What are you talking about?
Huh?
Got the Black Lantern Corps tattoo on my back. That wasn't a giveaway.
Hey, fun fact, you've got a Black Lantern on your back.
Fun fact, fun fact, Richard's still a virgin.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response, sweetheart. Not even going to dignify that with a response.
Anyway, so we're moving on, and obviously we have Charles and Lalandra, you know, talking about, you know, their future, and there's a little bit of hostility between a lot of people in the Shi'ar. Oh my god, I think I got to say this wrong. The Shi'ar Empire. Did I say it wrong?
Butchered the shit out of it, mate.
Yeah. So what is it?
The Shi'ar Empire. Yes.
There we go, Shi'ar. That's what I thought I said. Anyway.
The Shi'ar.
we'll call that one a piece, okay? So for that you have a go at me with that, and I had a go at you being a virgin. Okay, we'll just call that one a piece, okay?
No.
I'm loving this dynamic between them, and I think it's something we haven't really seen. Like Xavier really had a romance. I mean, there was like little elements here and there, but this one you really see, and I'm liking the dynamic. How about you guys?
He's a simp, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Did you hear the comment about him being her pet? He's like, yeah, I'm your pet. Right. Okay, Charles, settle down.
I mean, yeah, just healthy kinks, mate.
Yeah. Talk about PG. He's like, yeah, I'll be your pet. Damn. The Shi'ar with their whips.
Lange was like, you'll get to bark later. I was like, wait, what the f***?
I cut to that. Up.
How far are we taking this? Like, has he got a suit in the closet? Like,
oh mate, I reckon. Doesn't she have the big staff too?
Yeah, probably.
Oh god,
I'm sure Charles Xavier's familiar with that pole.
Need me to hold your staff, my queen?
Boys, calm down. We gotta stop those jokes at the moment. We've got to be a bit more professional. Breathe. Yeah. Okay. One thing about especially in the original series, I've always found this very uneasy because obviously they wear that metallic over their head. I'm just like, what the point of that? It's like those white wigs that the judges have to wear in court. I'm like, what the it makes no sense.
Crowns, mate. Sign of dominance.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Sherlock.
Huh? I didn't know that.
Pretty much what it is. It's like, we are more powerful than you. We're going to look more scarier.
The royal garb.
Yeah.
It's armor. Like, it's hectic. It's a status symbol. How did you not catch that, Dan?
He's got nothing.
He's about to try.
Okay. But it's starting to make sense now, but at the same time, I think it looks... yeah, oh my god, yeah, but at least I haven't said anything about the theme this week, and we'll move on from that.
You would bring it up again, you look, and you think I wouldn't bite that? I know you put it out there, you went fishing and you caught a big snapper. Yep, I'm biting.
So we go further, into the episode, and I can't even do it. You want to go with your little spiel?
What spiel? No, I don't want to go. You're stupid. The theme song's great.
You're stupid.
The theme song's good. There's no need to call it out every episode. It's a good theme.
Talk about the actual intro, the actual self, not the song itself this time.
Oh, my God. Now you are.
We can talk about what was in the intro this time, because there's a new character that's popped up.
Yep.
Master Mole created Nimrod.
Yes.
Yes. He's been in the show before.
Yep.
Nimrod. Sounds like Dan.
Just every opportunity he just takes.
Wow.
Well, you're Pete Dan.
We first saw him in the series with... Nice man,
so Dan's left.
Well, we first saw Nimrod in the TV show from the Days of Future Past two-parter.
That's right.
Yes. Because, not Bastion, bloody... Bishop was fighting him in the future.
Mm.
It's a cool design. The pink and the white. It's cool. I don't mind
it. I thought it was good to see Master Mole back in the fold. Scary looking design and one hell of a scary character, especially in comic books.
Well, the Wild Sentinel from the last episode was based off of the damaged Master Mole from the first episode.
Mm.
Yeah.
pretty good on its continuity. I like it. You know,
yeah, really.
That's good. It's great.
Which we'll get to by the end of this episode.
But yes.
We will.
I'm now lost. So after they had their little talk and bitch and fest and all that, what happens next? I forgot. Then we get to
Storm and Forge.
Yes.
Already. Oh, no, they cut back and forth.
Forth. And this is when
fighting the demon.
We get into the actual, hang on.
Doesn't the demon
the actual life death portion of the
episode, right? Yeah,
I'm still gonna call the demons terrifying to look at, but
now, what was the name that we gave it the other week? Was it
Nasal?
Nasal.
I tried saying, I'm sorry, Tass. I tried saying Nase, but I accidentally put an L on the end of it.
Nasal. His name is Nasal.
Nasal.
Well, Nasal. I can only imagine Tass hearing back the podcast and just cringing every time.
Hey, that's how we create ratings and memories easily by making stuff like that. But we have Nasal going off on a storm, and what I find about this scene is that obviously Forge is still sick. He's trying to get the water, and he pushes it away. I'm just like, dude, you know, she's trying to nurse you to health. Come on, just take the sip. You know, even it tastes like shit, just take the sip.
You would say that.
To be fair, she may have been hallucinating like the entire thing.
Exactly. Come on.
Mm. Yeah, because then we see the adversary pretty much putting her through her worst fear, which is close spaces. Like, she puts her in a casket and just locks her in.
Now, fun fact, Pete, if you can correct me, isn't that trauma from her parents' death? Is that right?
She's
claustrophobic?
Yeah, because she was stuck in a, I believe it was a crate. And she heard bad noises, I'm pretty sure. I need to get fact checked.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
But I like it. It suits Storm. Like, you know, she's very voiceless, big, you know, she's the wind and that. And her big fear is claustrophobia. I've never heard of it until today, until the episode came and I did a bit of research on it. But I like that. That's cool. Great dimension.
I think she did have a reference back to it in the Morlocks episode, because I think they locked her away at one point.
Yeah, they did.
Went nuts.
Yeah. No, it was also Genosha episode where she got locked as well.
Yeah, Genosha episode as well.
Yeah.
I like it. It's cool.
I think whenever they do stuff like that, they do need to put a warning at the start of an episode, because, like, I'm not claustrophobic, but I have a lot of family members who are claustrophobic, and the moment they see it, they will f***ing freeze. Like, that is... It's not that bad, but, like, it is a triggering point for a lot of people. Like, I know, like, for instance, like, not know which family member of mine, but very close family member of mine would actually, like, would probably shut up, and they'll be like, nah, I can't watch this. I'm turned off, and they'll have to leave the room and meditate for a couple of minutes before they can, you know, watch anything else after that. Because it's a really serious condition, and it's f***ing terrible. Terrifying to go through. Because, like, remember that Ryan Reynolds movie? What was it? Buried. I'm not claustrophobic, but just watch the trailer. That's all I can handle. I don't think I've handled the rest of that movie. Ugh.
But that's because it's you. No offense, you can't really handle much. You're putting it on for a silver platter for me, Dan. I can't help myself. I don't want to do it, Dan. But you're giving it to.
Yeah. There we go. And so.
Oh god!
Profanity left and right.
Fucking bitch! I muted myself.
Gets kicked from the cold. Try again.
All right, moving on from this part of the episode. But this
I'm unmutable.
Anyway, So this is also like one of its where I'm really starting to really think that Storm is the GOAT of the series, because she's just fucking tough, and I'm just digging what she's going through, because she's obviously going through the means of overcoming her fears and everything, and not taking from the demon for Nasal.
First the slap, and then now this episode, she's bringing it home. She's MVP at the moment for me personally. She's going nuts. Even more than Gambit, sorry. I really like her character. I like where it's going. I like her arc. And that costume, man. Oh, nothing beats that classic Giants.
Oh, we'll get to that, yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. We'll
sorry. Yes. Oh, yes, character great. Very nice. Good.
Mm. Nice. But Forge also using magic as well to get rid of the adversary.
Yes.
Yeah. That was No. We decided on the show he's called Nasal, okay? We're not going to call him the adversary. He's called Nasal.
He's adversary for people who don't.
Okay.
But on one of its call, he's called Nasal, and we'll get... You know what? We should get our sponsor of Westworld Clothing that actually makes sure it's called. His name is Nasal or something.
Fucking Nasal.
That's it. Fucking Nasal.
the song from the Devil Game. Who the f- is that?
That's awesome. But it was cool. Doctor Strange was very Doctor Strange. Like, that's just straight out of the MCU book.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at, like, the design of it and the animation of it and everything, it looked exactly the same. Yeah, and it plays into like what the Ancient One was talking about in Doctor Strange, like how the magic comes from not just their universe, but like all of space and time. So it makes sense that it draws from the same
source. I like it, but I hope they're careful with that. I don't need everything to be connected and everything to be, you know, cussy, you know. I like having variations of things as well. So it's cool, but I hope they don't, you know, just take it easy with it, in my view.
Oh, I mean, it's probably just multiversal stuff. Like,
yeah. But still, like, I just hope that, you know, they can draw from Steve Ditko's artwork, you know, from his run on Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? Just be creative and different. Don't always just rinse and reuse the MCU. It's great. How it was done, excellent. But
Pepper, was this confirmed to be part of the MCU now? Because I remember you mentioned
part of the multiverse. Regardless, anything's really
part of the multiverse saga. I think because I saw a post that Disney Plus put it on that lineup.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they did, especially with the Watcher showing up. Like,
That too. That was the big one. Big time.
Yeah,
I've rewatched the episode. I still can't find that scene. I've had a look at the screenshots that you guys had sent to me.
It's literally right before the fireworks when they start celebrating.
You can see his whole bald head.
Oh my god!
Everyone caught it.
Just remember who writes the fucking checks on this episode on the show. Okay,
Doc my bay. You can't even see the Watcher, the big juicy bald head in the middle of the screen, and you still can't see it. Anyway, I digress.
Hang the fuck on! You're getting paid.
They're getting paid.
You know what? I should become a referee because I'm.
I didn't want to say anything about it.
With those fucking comments, I should become a referee because I'm fucking blind.
But and then Forge lets Storm know that there is something to help cure that ailment that he has, but she needs to find it in an enclosed space. Which makes it even more of a challenge for her journey.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's good. It's good. And she overcame it. She did what she needed to do. Mm-hmm. While Nasal was busting her balls, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah. That one thing though is just like it shows that she still loves him if she's willing to trample her biggest fear. You know, because I'll be fine and honest, like the way that she acted in the previous episodes. I was like, okay, yeah, you're the one who is the reason why I don't have my powers. F*** you, I don't love you anymore. That's what I took from her reaction.
Yeah.
Well, the slap.
especially because, goddamn, that was so bad. That was almost there's another one in this episode, too, like another slap that I'm surprised you haven't seen yet. But, like, the point of it all was overcoming her physical fear, which, is in closed spaces, but she also overcame her mental fear, which was she's worried that she's better off without her powers. Because, like it started with her conversation with Jean in episode 2, like wondering, oh, I've always wondered what it's like to be human. Mm. And then she gets it, but she's bursting into tears because, oh, I can't feel the wind anymore. Because it's like directly from life death. Forge's machine in episode 4, it worked. It gave her back her powers, but there was the mental block.
Yeah.
There was still that worry of, am I actually better off without my powers?
Mm.
And that's what adversary helps her overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though it's a different approach, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, very different approach. But yeah, it's exactly the same foundation.
But that's what I like about adaptations. When they do them properly, it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but they get the essence, you know, the flavor right. It still can be very poignant. It's something different, but it's also respecting, you know, the source material. I love that, when adaptations do that and they get it right. It's f***ing grass. Yeah. Old MCU used to do that really well. You know, pre-Endgame, they used to do that really, really well.
Yeah. Same with, like, X-Men 92. It's what made it famous in the first place. How accurate they did their stories.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, it's not completely one-for-one, but it's you know, it's perfect. It's distilled. Like Earth's Mightiest Heroes and the Justice League cartoon. All the good ones, they do it like that.
Oh,
they respect it, but they do it properly. I love it.
Mm. Oh, yeah. It's good to see that she had the transformation as well. She went from, you know, civilian clothes to, you know, the more iconic, I don't know the artist's name, but the iconic costume that we know her from.
The Astonishing X-Men version.
Yeah.
Is it the Astonishing? I thought it was the 1970 giant size.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Was that John Romita Sr. that did that art?
I thought it was Dave Cockrum. Wasn't it Dave
Cockrum? Might have been.
Giant Size X-Men number one. That's what that suit was from, 100%.
Anyone want to do a quick Google search and make sure so we don't get blasted in comments for that one?
No, I'm right, 100%. I'm confident.
That says, one, I'm confident. Says the guy who knows not to eat chicken in Preston. So,
good luck blowing that out. Bring up the chicken again. Bring up the chicken again, and I'm coming at you with razor blades and lemon juice, man.
Oh boy,
I've been holding my tongue so far, and that's me holding my tongue. You watch yourself, Dan.
So violent from a child, you know. I don't know what happened.
Stopped as a child. I don't know what happened.
Oh boy,
late '80s.
Late '80s.
Late '80s. So yeah, it was.
Yeah. No. It's 19. I'm telling you, it's 1978.
Oh. Here we go. We're going to have a debate.
Hold on. Yeah, bro. Tess just Googled.
I don't like Tess's Google.
You're probably going to the same search, like, same search thing he is, mate.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? It's 1975.
Is it?
Yes. I'm talking about this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is the giant size X-Men.
It's done by Gil Kane and Dave Cockrum, 1975.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought it was Dave Cockrum. I just couldn't remember the year.
No, I'm the best. It doesn't matter. That's it. Simple. Yeah, I'm number one.
You know what I love about this whole interaction between us four is that Manos usually plays a very angry character in wrestling, and he is so fucking calm right now.
Not all the time.
I'm waiting. I'm just waiting for you to shout or do something, and you're just so calm.
And knowing me, I'll be the one to edge that out of. Right. I'm pushing fucking buttons. I know, damn, but that's a given.
Well, we got three more episodes of X-Men 97 to go through. I'm pretty sure we'll set the challenge for the same. Which one it'll be. Four.
Yeah.
Was it 10?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 10 episodes, and this is episode 6.
If you're listening on Spotify, there will be a poll there. Which episode is Richard the Naffa going to be breaking Manos? Will it be episode 7, 8, 9, or 10?
I have to. Tess, it's not personal. I don't want to do it. It's Dan's fault. Blame Dan. You know what? I am going to blame Dan. Dan, it's your fault.
Jesus Christ.
I will say there was a bit of first flight vibes with Storm's transformation.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, I saw a lot of people making that comparison.
First flight.
I felt like I
Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't really catch that. No. yeah, that went over my head. No, I didn't really catch that.
I thought it was more like the her first transformation in the first episode of 92. You know, how she just put her hands down and all lifted up, and then she turned from civilian to her white get up.
Well, she didn't unleash her full cyclone when she.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
I get it now when she's going with the deer and all that. Like, Man of Steel. Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
But she's still on the water, the reflection there.
Yeah, okay. I'll pay it. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I like it. It's very Storm esque. I don't know. It felt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was too engrossed in the costume. I got excited. I was watching with my
sister. Oh, it's a great moment.
Oh, like, she's got the costume. She's got the costume. If they give everybody their classic 1970s costumes, oh, yeah.
Wolverine's already got his.
That's what they're going to be doing, Dan. I think you were the one who said that a few days ago, that there was a rumor that they're going to be changing costumes by the end of the series.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard that. I hope they
maybe they'll be into the more comic accurate looks from here on out after this.
Delicious. Scrumptious. Love it.
I got a theory. Quick side tangent. I got a theory. Magneto is going to get his... can't remember if it was House of X or Powers of 10, but that white costume he had.
Oh, are you serious? That'd
because
be good.
In the original E for Extinction, he survived.
Yes. Yeah,
he came back as a villain. Mm-hmm. So I reckon that's the way they're going to go with him. They're going to bring him back, and that's going to be the costume they bring him in, just as like a, hey, comic reference.
Do you reckon they'll bring him back via time travel or something else?
No, I reckon he just survived the attack.
There's a theory going around about something involving Professor X that might answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, especially right.
When we get back to the Xavier portion of the episode, we'll talk a bit more about that.
Okay. We're pretty much there now, but like towards the end of this part of the episode, Storm is nursing. Sorry, well, we've skipped way too ahead. It is back to the Xavier's bit.
Yeah.
And there's obviously tensions now going with the Royal Guard and everything. And is it the Royal Guard or my
stuff? It's just with Deathbird.
Deathbird.
She doesn't want Xavier and Lilith married.
Yeah.
How stupid is the fucking council that they can't see Deathbird clearly just saying, "Yeah, I want the front." Like, how can they be? Fucking stupid, bro.
They're not stupid because some of them agree with it.
But they're stupid. It's just stupid.
It's a fucking way to get the metaphor on the head, mate.
It's called politics, Rich.
They're stupid. Everybody's stupid. They're all dumb.
Hey. In the last episode, we even mentioned this, you know. How the hell do you have a council that has fucking Sebastian Shaw and the White Queen, and then all of a sudden they're the clone of Jean Grey? And I think that's going to be a great fucking way to start a new nation.
It's a great idea.
You're leading it too.
It's a redhead on a council. What more do you want?
Oh, the hell are you? Again, Richard Single, please help us, guys. But this is where I'm with you. Like, you know, it's fucking stupid that they don't see that she's trying to do this. Huh?
You agree with me.
I'm going with you. I know. I'm not saying.
I'm sorry. I must be wrong.
What I said.
Agree with me. I'm wrong. I need to reevaluate my stance. Please give me a moment to reevaluate.
Meet your local politician, and then you might learn something.
She's going, but Xavier's going through their little trial, their test to erase his memories. That way he can be with Lilandra in marriage.
I don't get why
it's more like just their cultural thing with them. Like Deathbird, what she called for was the same, I believe it was the same request made for when they tried trialing Jean for her death when she was the Phoenix. They called, we declare this, yada, yada, yada. And that's why there was a death battle between the Royal Guard and the X-Men and the Moon.
That's so right.
It was a similar, like, same thing as that.
But still, I like, erasing your entire existence.
Memories.
I could, yeah, like, it's like the end of No Way Home. When Spider-Man did it. Sorry for people who haven't watched that movie yet, but if you haven't watched it, for fuck's sake, what are you doing?
All two of you that haven't. Jeez.
Yeah. I don't know if I could. I don't know if that was me. I don't think I could do it. I was just like, I love her, but you know, a lot of people love me as well. I don't want.
Oh, you would spin it like that.
Oh, shut up! Oh,
you would spin it like there's too many people that love me.
sorry.
Well,
there's too many people
as soon as I get to...
love me. I'm sorry that I have to.
And click. And.
Well, as soon as I get to reject or forget the X-Men and stuff like that, he obviously can't do it.
That's your X-Men, and he just stares.
Yeah. And then Deathbird comes in and just fucks the whole thing up.
Yep. She's like, ah, see, he hesitates. And it's like, what the? Where'd you come from? But yeah, it's a great show of, like, even his quick conversation he has with Gladiator about the two people that fell in love and they're like in the lore of the Shi'ar and everything. He explains, wait, what was it? I lost my train of thought now. God damn it. Richard being on mute has just distracted me.
Hang on.
He's on a firm call. What the hell? He's trying to call me.
What?
You stupid motherfucker. You fucking piece of fucking mute me.
Oh, that's such a good. Unmute yourself then.
That's such a poor.
But unmute yourself.
You piece of shit. I'm unmutable. I'm unmutable, damn it.
That was beautiful.
Unmute me. I'll destroy you.
Oh, God.
Ridiculous.
But
this is easily my favorite episode we've ever done.
Oh, God, yeah, this is great. Probably need to chuck on like an extra half hour so that we can actually finish the episode.
Most likely. Anyway, sorry, Pete, you were saying?
Because I can't remember the exact name of the bloke, even though I just finished the episode, I've already forgotten his name. But Xavier references a poet from Earth, like Hal Richard Neves or something of you, I think it was.
Yeah.
And he's famous author because some of his works are still celebrated, like The Jungle Book, the original one, written by him. Mm-hmm. But he also wrote...
Kipling.
Kipling, that's the one. He also wrote a book called The White Man's Burden, which is essentially like...
Racist?
It was basically like it's the white man's job to spread
racism.
It's racism, yeah. That's why he called it the white man's burden. But basically to spread like their idea of normalcy.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's like we have to go to like tribes or ancient tribes and teach them how to be normal people and to join society. That is the burden of the white man.
So like colonialism, basically.
Colonialism, yeah. That's what like Gladiator was saying. He's like, oh, we do it in the name of good. And he's like, no, you don't, because I've seen plenty of people do it and it's all the same thing, just different people.
Yeah, and like, he would know always, coming from, you know, the concentration camps and that.
Yeah, exactly. You have to defeat, like, you have to get rid of your normal self to conform, which is also great because that's also Storm's thing with, you know, am I better off without my powers?
Yeah.
Should I just conform to normal society?
And that's why I liked it more than the other disjointed mojumble of the Jubilee episode.
Yeah.
Both stories are disconnected, but they're running parallel in terms of theme, which makes it very compelling. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and they can jumble back and forth. It was great. I'm glad
if they'd done that episode like this, what they've done, like back and forth, I think I would have really loved that episode. Nah. It would have been much better.
I disagree only because I think the story that they had laid out for Jubilee and that wasn't as compelling as both of these two stories.
No, I get that. I mean, I'm just saying I would have enjoyed it a little bit better if they'd done that because it would have somehow made it just more bearable, I think, for me.
Yeah. Because I had a thing of like the Jubilee episode was important because the story of it was moving on from
and growing up.
Yeah, and growing up. So it made sense why they had it. It was just you could have told that exact story with Lifeblood because that was the point of the first part of Lifeblood was moving on, figuring out who you are when you have to change so fundamentally the way Storm did. Like losing her powers, and it's why it's stuck on her depression and suicidal tendencies so early on in that comic, because that was the point. So I reckon, like, if they did cut the Jubilee part, which in fair play to them, if they wanted to do it in the show's continuity, fair enough, but if you wanted to do like proper comic accurate story, which they don't necessarily have to do, then yeah, it could have been easily Lifeblood Part One. The point is to move on, and the point of Part Two is you don't have to if you don't want to, or if you don't have to if it's not toxic to you. And that's like the whole point of the saga. If you want to move on, move on. If it's not bad for you, you don't need to. Don't feel inclined to.
Yeah.
Well, and so honestly, like, if you had that with the ending of Lifeblood Part 2, where you see, like, Storm sees the newscast and everything, as the end of Episode 5, and then Episode 5 is Episode 6, because everybody would have been contemplating, oh, God, what happened to Genosha?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it would have been a week of theories and everything.
Oh, that would have been much better, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, like it's not bad because Episode 5 was still good, but I reckon like if they still kept it flowing, then it would have been perfect as Episode 6. But that's just me going on.
No, but Episode 6, it's if they reverse the order, I reckon that would have been. I think more tears would have been shed on that because like it had this, already had this theory, and then all of a sudden you were prepared for the ending.
And that's the whole.
Oh, for sake! This is why you need to catch up when you miss episodes.
No, I just wanted to highlight the fact that you cried. That's all.
Sorry. All three of us cried.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I was more numb more than crying.
You should make fun of Dan, didn't you? I'm
not making fun
except
of
that.
I understand why they cried. It was an emotional scene. But you cried a little bunny rabbit walking past in the street. That's the point I'm trying to get at.
Moving on to what happened later in the episode, we have them. Going back and forth, and Deathbird, right?
Yep,
Deathbird. Yeah, Deathbird and Lalandra are now fighting, and they're going off, and then Xavier just goes classes in session or
classes in session. Yeah, I forgot my greatest gift, classes in session. But before that, oh my god, Gladiator MVP of the goddamn episode gets clawed. Bang!
Yeah,
across the room.
Awesome.
I was like, bro's been waiting for that since training day. You can tell.
Big time. Sit your bitch ass down.
And then Deathbird's troops start shooting at Melandra and Xavier. And then
and he just stands there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Dick planted firmly on table.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
I refuse to acknowledge that Gladiator is the MVP of this f***ing episode.
That's because you're stupid. It was a cool moment.
Yeah,
it was awesome. How did you not like that? Even if it wasn't Gladiator, that's just a cool moment for a
character. As I said, I f***ing hate this character. Doesn't matter if he has a cool line or a cool moment like this. I can't f***ing stand him.
Can you look? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Can you just explain to me why? Why? Just give me a logical reason why.
I can't. Except for me to just call him a knob, you know? It's like it's like, why the f are my friends you? I can't explain it. You know?
Nah, you lose again, you're stupid. Nah, I gave you a chance. I gave you a chance. And you blew it. Look, you're about to start crying now again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh mate,
you can listening via Spotify, he's tearing up there. You can see it. He's about to ball out.
Richard. You can be the sweetest fucking peach in the tree, but some people just don't like peaches.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I get that a lot, you know, via Dan.
Jeez. You know, I'm trying to alleviate everything, bro, but you just keep taking every fucking shot. You think you're firstborn or something, man.
He tried to fucking mute me.
I honestly feel like we should get Dr. El Paragon, even though he's not part of one of the school officially, to be on a therapy session with all four of us right now.
He is a therapy.
Yeah, you know all about that. He's your tag team partner after all. But I don't know if we could get any good advice from him because he charged me a f-ing load for the last session and it didn't f-ing help with me and Emilio. So. Do what you will with that one. But this whole bit where they're in class and everything.
The astral plane, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, astral the plane.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was very corny, but something. I kind of liked it. Yeah, okay.
I have to say, I'm sorry. But if you watch his facial expressions while his hand is in his pocket, doesn't it look like he's, like, touching his belt? Just me. Just go back, watch that scene, and you tell me. I saw it on a comment somewhere. And I'm like, nah. I went and I looked at the clip. I'm like, holy shit. What the Look, that's just me. I could be wrong, but that's my...
I say, bro, just looked like a man with a hand in his pocket.
But he was smiling, and he was moving his pocket around. It was weird.
And the award for the worst joke of this episode goes to Richard Naffer.
It's not a joke. I'm being serious.
So last episode was with Pete. Previous was me. And previous was me. But now Richard's now got the championship on this one because that was f***ing terrible.
Joke. I'm being serious. But anyway. All right.
Anyway.
I think we already spoke about that because that's when Gladiator and Lelandra and the council and...
Yeah, but then doesn't he get the vision ideologies?
Yeah. This was like before he gets the vision of Gambit and everything.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
trying to explain to them the core principles of their ideology right. and yeah. why it's bad, and they're arguing against him. He's like, because it's straight up colonialism, and he knows that. It's why his greatest gift isn't like, oh, it's my telepathy. Nah, it's that he's a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Even before he was always a teacher. So that's why he's trying to school them in like, no, we aren't doing things. I wanted to do things your way, but your way is wrong. Here is why it's wrong. And that's why every time like Deathbird goes like, oh, like what is the power of the Shi'ar based off of? And like Deathbird just destroys everything and goes, oh, it's from the skulls of weak people like you. And he's like, no. Sit down. Raise your hand.
And it was funny because then the other council guy puts his hand up.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, f***ing awesome. He probably just saw that and he's like, yep, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm not going to get a f***ing blasted.
Just an apple teleported into my mouth.
I don't know about you guys, but I felt this scene should have gone a little bit longer with the whole classroom thing. I think this could have been really funny and very thought-provoking as well, because there was a lot of like serious but also funny tones in this one scene, but it just felt too short to me.
Yeah, but I reckon if it went any longer, it'd be too preachy. Like, obviously, it's a preachy sort of moment, but I reckon if they did it any longer, it would have been too much, in my opinion. I think it would have been
just enough. Yeah, he made the point by the end of it. So like
correct.
taking it on further than that is a bit.
Yeah. So 3-1 as usual, stupid Dan.
Because like I say that because if you look at his speech to the Shi'ar of like, this is why your opinion is like, it's not the worst, but it's the one that's the wrong way, because we're all born of stardust. We are all the same thing. We all live in the same galaxy. It's the same argument that Magneto made in episode 2.
Yeah,
like we shouldn't have to fight to live on the planet that we all live on. It's small enough, but we're nothing compared to everything else.
Yeah.
So just like you normal humans, we have a right to live here too. And that's what Xavier was saying. All life has a right to live as it wants to live. Just because you think you're superior doesn't mean that you are.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the writing in this show, especially because because like at the start of the show where people are like, oh, X-Men's gone work and all that, and everybody's like, oh, X-Men's always been work, because like
most of those people don't even know what the term means.
Exactly. Yeah, they just say it because it's a bloody thing word at this point.
Yeah,
but
the X-Men have always been you know, since their creation
diversive.
From Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, that's always been their thing. Throughout every incarnation, every team, that's the thing. We're going against prejudice and hate, and that's our thing. And that's
why they were created in the first place, as a commentary on prejudice.
Correct. Good old Jack Kirby.
Yeah, Jack Kirby and Stan Lee were fucking years ahead of their time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's why like you could take this scene and make it panel for panel with all the speech bubbles and everything, put it in a comic, and it'd be the exact same. And that's why I love it, because it's so accurate to what the X-Men stand for.
Yeah, and there hasn't been a show like that in such a long time. This is big for me to say, but it's almost on the same level as Justice League and Batman in the terms of it's getting the characters so right on every level. Like, not one character isn't that character. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the perfect distilled version of all those years of history in each character. It's grass, and that's why it's so compelling. It's like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be, especially coming from all the Fox movies, love them, hate them, but they never got each character as they should in its entirety, you know what I mean? So it's good to see everybody's getting the right treatment, you know, however short their appearance is, however long their appearance is, it feels, you know, oh, yes, that is Storm. That is Magneto. It's awesome.
Can't believe I'm going to say this, but I actually agree with every fucking word you just said then. that is just, I don't think in the entire time I've known you, I can honestly say I've ever said that to you.
No, absolutely true.
Mm.
Jesus, mate, you sound like the kind of guy that would suggest Maccas if Richard said the Hungry Jacks. Like, come on, man.
I don't know what to say. I'm actually, I'm touched. I'm speechless. I don't know what to say, Dan. You've, I don't know what to say. That was beautiful, Daniel. That was just beautiful.
And then all of a sudden.
And then all hell breaks loose.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's just bring the mood way back down.
Bring it down.
Well, he was getting good. Well, things were getting good, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, all of a sudden the globe starts spinning. On hang on,
yeah, but
yeah, we get.
How come? Well, I want to know how come it was Gambit, not Magneto,
because Gambit was the one.
This is what I was talking about. Because most of the time you see Charles, he talks about his friendship with Magneto most of the time, not with a. Of course, he has a connection with all the X-Men, but not Magneto's his oldest friend.
Yeah.
Mm. Hell, he still calls him Magnus.
Yeah.
Mm.
But when the death image comes up, it's Gambit, not Magneto. So there's a theory going around that maybe Magneto's still alive.
Yeah, it plays into mine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't like that because that means Gambit's dead.
Nah, it's like the show, that episode, like that event, it needed something to ground it. And unfortunately, Gambit's death was the perfect way to do it.
But it wasn't even just Gambit. It was more than half of the f***ing Genosha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but we don't have a personal connection with half of Genosha.
Yes,
we have
a personal connection with Gambit. Why'd you kill Banshee for? Banshee was cool. I like Banshee.
Banshee was cool, but he's not a core member of the X-Men, is he?
Yes, he is. Giant Size Number One, 1974.
And they did kill off quite a few important characters in that.
Yeah, Sebastian, Madeline.
I'm more upset about fucking Banshee and Madeline.
You know, it makes sense that you'd be a fan of a screaming bitch. You know,
that's why I love you so much. That's why I love you, Dan.
I'm
okay with that because we all know I'm a screaming bitch, so that's okay.
But yeah, that's the big theory going around now that Magneto may have been saved by Leech in that big moment against the Wild Sentinel.
What is Leech's powers again?
He nullifies other mutants' powers.
Oh, so how is he going to save it?
Oh yeah, no.
So the Wild Sentinel wouldn't know. Wouldn't figure out that.
He killed Leech instead of Magneto.
Yeah. But the blast got him. Everybody.
Yeah, it'd be, but like the shield would have protected them, but it would have like still
not
done a lot
Magneto's powers to the point where the Wild Sentinel might think that he's dead.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that's that's the big fan theory going around now. So
you know why I don't subscribe?
We'll have to wait and see next episode.
It's a good theory, but the reason why I don't subscribe to it is, in my opinion, again, nothing.
Yeah, of course.
Mm. The fact that Cable is involved.
Yes.
Yeah, the fact that he came and said, oh, shit, not again. So I feel like, yes, this is a big moment, but I think it's going to be undone via time travel.
I think it probably would.
I hope so. I like the X-People. You can't kill Gambit. He's cool.
I hope not, only because on a rewatch, they'll take away all the oomph from the end of that episode.
That's true.
It'll undo all the work that ending had.
But I can't listen to that fucking song, you know, Beautiful Nation now. Like, ever again.
Lovely nation.
I've been listening to that all week.
It's so bad. It's like on repeat. It's f***ed up.
Oh, and fun fact, Pete. when you go back to the original mind flash that Madeline Pryor had in episode one, I believe it was, one or two.
Yes, yes.
It's a slowed down version of Ace of Base's Happy Nation.
Oh,
it is actually a slowed down, or it's like the intro where there wasn't any lyrics, because the same part that played when Madeline was having a nosebleed was playing in the flash.
Pete, you've outdone yourself. That was the best fact all night. You've blown my mind.
I have like another two in the chamber, but we've moved past them.
Okay, because we're almost out of time. Get your two fun facts out, but fun fact, Pete.
Okay. During the speech where Lalandra is professing her love for Charles Xavier, she talks about colonizing worlds. You see a race of horse-looking people with hammers and all that doing mining that. Work.
Yes.
They're Beta Ray Bill's race.
Yes.
I did not notice that.
Yes, they're even in the plant, the garden when him and Lalandra are having a conversation. You see him in the foreground.
Awesome. Yes.
So yeah, that's yes, Beta Ray Bill's race.
Yes. Give us the other one. You're on pause.
He's not calm. Richard, calm down.
No, I'm excited.
So the other one is about Charles Xavier's Flash.
When did he flash somebody?
When he had his hands in his pocket. Jesus Christ. when he sees fucking Gambit, all the skeletons that are in the students' chairs are a sign that his students are dying. And also, why he sees flames is because he could feel the mutants as they were being killed by the Grand Sentinel. That's what snapped him out of it.
That same dialogue from the new X-Men comic.
Yep. They were all laughing. They were all dancing. They were all making love. It is taken exactly from the bubble.
Wow.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Yeah.
You never read
it. As soon as I heard it, that's beautiful.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Now that we got the fun facts out of the way, I can actually now have I've now come to with the decision of how I feel about this episode, because I haven't mentioned it on here, but I've been struggling to know if I either liked it or hated this episode, and really? After hearing those two last fun facts, I've actually come to the conclusion. But let's just quickly finish up. So we cut, obviously, you know, Xavier has a Flash and all that stuff, and then we just cut back to Storm and Forge, and they're sort of, you know, rekindling their love and, you know, turn the tape on, and then all of a sudden the tears start coming out from Storm, realizing Genosha's gone.
Yep. Everything's now at the right time. Everything's now been brought together.
Mm.
Yep.
It's cool. The stage has been set, and I think the next episode's going to be hectic. It's going to be interesting.
We have been warned by one of the executives through Instagram and Twitter and all that. Says that the last three episodes are the tearjerkers, and I've already got a couple of boxes of tissues on standby just in case.
Let me get this straight. If the creators of the show are saying the next few are the tearjerkers, that means you're going to like collapse or something, right?
Oh, most likely, you know.
And also, the mid-credit scene, we now know who's behind.
Let's quickly just talk about this for a second. Now I've already forgotten the character. Who's the one who was Trask? Now Trask is a bitch. Because he gets shut up. He gets blasted and then he just starts going, who the f-? You know, he gets blasted and starts crying like that.
A human who's being fucking terrified, bro. Has it ever happened to you? I mean, you cry like a little bitch too.
Literally, Dan. That's who. You've answered your own question.
Especially who it's coming from.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, imagine seeing that face in a fucking dark alley, let alone a well-lit police station.
I don't know how I feel about it being Mr. Sinister, but I don't know. I've got mixed feelings.
It's accurate.
Like, yeah, story, narrative-wise, it makes sense. Obviously, it was Cassandra Nova originally in the comics, but for narrative-wise, for this story that they're telling, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I agree.
It's all the same beats. Sinister wants to create his own race of mutants and wants to control them. Hence why he took out everybody in Genosha, wiped the slate clean, and made a massive, because I don't think anyone touched on this, he made a massive power vacuum in the mutant community. Majority of the strongest are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Magneto's gone. Charles is gone. Oh,
Pete, why do you do this to me? Yeah, now I'm really assertive what I want to, how I feel about this episode now.
Good Pete. I didn't really think about that. All the big leaders and all the leaders are gone.
Yep. That's why it was the whole thing running through the episode. Genosha was just the start.
Yeah. I think we spoke about this last episode. Emma Frost wasn't in among the dead, was she?
Yeah, I need to correct myself. She was. I got to correct myself because, yes, you were right. That, I thought it was I thought it was Emma Frost next to Sebastian Shaw. No, I was actually wrong.
That was
Madeline Pryor.
Madeline Pryor.
Yeah.
I hope they do like an in memorandum just so we know who's carded. I'd like to know who's gone. I'd like to know this,
just
please.
Island of Genosha.
In memory of the Isle of Genosha.
Yeah. I still can't believe they killed Banshee.
And then, if they do that little that little video of like enlisting of people, they need to do the slow down version of what's that song called? Happy Nation.
That's cool.
Happy Nation.
Wait, that means
everyone is dead now.
Just like what Pete said, just bring back the slowed down version of the song.
Yeah, just bring it back.
That means Cyclops is going to come up as the big leader. Everyone's
In the comics, that's what happened. He became the leader.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, Xavier's gone, Magneto's gone, who else?
That's it. And his kid's gone. He's got no excuse to be a bitch.
Wolverine, you know, and then he can lead the X-Men like he did in that great TV show that lasted only one season.
Oh, another banger.
It was a banger, that show, yeah.
Right. It's a great opening theme. Go, Dan, fight me.
Oh, there we go. See, Pete? Rich actually agreed with me on that one.
Oh, it's awesome. It's not as good.
I didn't like it either.
No, he said he liked it.
Oh, he said he liked it. Oh,
yeah.
No, it's good. It's a good thing. It's not like top 10.
Yeah, it's not. Cool. It's not the worst that I've heard. Like, it's not Avengers United They Stand.
Oh no!
Oh
no.
My God!
Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Now that.
Yeah, that was
thing.
Fun fact. Another fun fact.
What a thing!
The same people who did that intro song is a band called Downstreet, who also did the intro song for Cody Rhodes.
The intro for what?
They did the band that did the intro for Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Oh my god.
Yeah.
And they did the song, they did Cody Rhodes' theme song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's cool. That's cool.
Do you have any of these? I'm sorry.
We need a t-shirt immediately. Pete's fun facts. That's priority. We need nasal.
So Respo clothing, if you're listening, we need shirts that says Pete's fun facts, nasal,
and
hashtag delicious.
Yeah.
We also need a graphic, just a fucking poster of Daniel and Richard. Alpha Energy 5 main event. Let's go.
I can totally see a promo photo being made up as we speak of this. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's going to be beautiful.
All right, I've got a magic eight ball here, right, in my hand. Let's just see what it says. Would Richard be able to beat me in a fight?
You're going to jinx it, bro.
Hang on.
Not like
what the hell did I say? Oh, try again. No, all right, one more time. Is Rich gonna beat me in a fight?
I don't care what your magic balls say, mate.
It says,
what did it say, Dan?
The try again.
I don't know what it said. Now we've got to ask a sample question here. We gotta ask a sample question here on What If It's Cool, episode 6 of X-Men 97. Is it cool? Firstly, Tass, how do you feel?
It is cool, absolutely.
Bitch Nuts. Oh, sorry, Rich, how do you feel?
Someone say something to me. I didn't hear you.
What was that?
Yes, it was cool. Almost as cool as me beating Dan in a fight.
And fun fact, Pete, how you going?
It is cool.
All right. Yeah. Now, I was in the middle. Now, with all the fun facts from Peter, I have now leaned it going too cool because it now sums up everything that the future is going to be for this series. And honestly, I can't wait for Wednesday to come out. And this is going to be very interesting for the next four episodes.
What a series! I knew it was going to be good. I really expect it to be this good. Like, it's fucking gross.
Mm. Well, you know, in all fairness, when they changed the animation and some of the original cast were not going to come back, you know, we all of us had doubts, but they're fucking getting out of the ballpark.
Yeah, they're smashing it. It's very good. I hope they can stick the landing, and if they do, it'll be a top five series for me. And that's big because I'm not a big X-Men fan. So that's a big statement.
Top five, if not top three.
No. People are already calling for an Emmy nod.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Already?
Already,
In writing alone.
Of course.
Yeah.
Still not Justice League, though.
Yeah, but they're never going to win it on the music. Well, that's the end of this episode of What If It's Cool. Firstly, Tass, where can we find you on all your socials?
You can find me at Tass Alexander Talk Leaders on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find me at Tass Talk Lee 2020 on Snapchat. And at the moment, wrestling-wise, I don't have a lot of shows coming up at the moment, but I will keep everyone informed.
Mm. And also, if you haven't checked him out on Snapchat recently, I'm going to put a photo right here of the Storm photo that is absolutely fantastic. Is that still on Snapchat now, that filter?
I think, I'm not sure. It's actually for Fall, Love, and Thunder, but I just cut out the logo.
And I've got to say, I think the thumbnail for this episode should be all of us just doing that, but screw it. You know, I nearly just said nearly Texas then. Fun fact, Pete, where can we find you on all your socials? Sorry, Pete.
You can find me at danger_is_Pete on anything, your Facebooks, your Instagrams, your Twitters, your TikToks even. Wrestling-wise, you can find me at Pipeworks Market on May 11th. I'll be wrestling Ryan Kasker for the Alpha Energy Cup, and I'm going to take that bloody cup. You can watch me do that on May 11th.
I'll be calling that match as well, so definitely come and support us on that one, because entry fee is only $2 to get into the market, and you get all that wrestling action for free, so why the f*** would you want to miss that? It's going to be an absolutely stellar show. Rich, where can we find you?
So I've recently just changed my Instagram name to I'm going to kick the shit out of Dan _ Will Bashing on Instagram. So you can find me there. you can also find me at the Redhead. Anyway, so yeah, _1400 on Instagram.
I was gonna say Redhead Lovers. It would be an Instagram handle, but no, that's a shit joke. Jesus.
But you said it anyway.
Yeah, because like most comedians, they have to try and things new, and if it doesn't work, right, you just learn from that. And clearly, I'm not learning because I keep doing shit joke after shit joke after shit joke. And with that being said, don't forget to like, share, subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast. Want more from One of Us Cool? Make sure to check out the YouTube channel where you can find the latest episodes of Mukbang Around, Reaction, and of course the podcast. And don't forget to follow One of Us Cool on all socials. It can be found at One of Us Cool. Keep that support coming. And until next time, we'll catch you on the next one. Peace. Richard sucks. Anyway.
I love you, Ben.
I love you too.